Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I don't even know you.
Oh, how I wish I could believe or understand that.
I'm Jim Burns. Women are usually more in tune with emotional issues than men. But that does not mean that men don't have feelings or fears. That was a reoccurring theme in the research of author Shanti Feldhahn, and it surfaced in her book, For Women Only, What You Need to Know About the Inner Lives of Men. Shanti has been speaking out to women and men about what she discovered in her survey of thousands of guys nationwide. Her research is helping women do a better job of understanding the men in their lives and also helping us guys in being able to tell our wives how we really feel about things like work, family, and our faith. During the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Shanti Feldhahn. We're talking about a woman's guide to the mind of a man today on Homeward, so keep it right here.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Male-female relationships are at the core of so many different squabbles, especially in family relationships, marriages, and parent-child. And one of the ways that we as parents and as adults can actually take some proactive steps to resolve these conflicts is just to figure out the differences between men and women. During the next half hour, you're going to get a primer on how women can have a better job of understanding the men in their life. Right now, here's part two of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Shanti Feldhahn, author of the book For Women Only.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is day two. We're talking about what guys wish women knew about men. Shanti Feldhahn is with us. She's written a best-selling book. It's called For Women Only, What You Need to Know About the Inner Lives of Men. As I talked about last time, I actually read the entire book just recently, and it's a great book. So, Shanti, thanks so much for coming back.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Well, it doesn't usually seem that a person who has a master's degree from Harvard, writes for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, is writing a very Christian book for women. What made you go into this type of a writing as opposed to writing the novels that you've done and the other things that you've done with public policy?
God. It sounds so funny, but honestly, I could never have planned this. I mean, seriously. As I explained with you guys last time, it really was something I stumbled across when I was doing research for my novel. So honestly, I just ended up doing a big survey of men and interviewing a ton of men and realizing that I had to put it all in this book.
As you did the survey, you had some surface understandings. Men need respect. Men are insecure. Men are providers. Men want more sex. Surprise, surprise. Men are visual. Men are unromantic clods, which is a surface understanding, apparently, we're going to learn about. And men care about appearance. Did any of those especially surprise you?
Well, see, here's the thing. Those are all things that we women kind of know. I mean, that's sort of what we women think right. About you guys. And, you know, it's no surprise, for example, that, you know, men want to be a provider. But I didn't realize what that meant, or that men are visual. You know, that's something we've all heard, but I didn't know what it really meant. And you ask the average woman, what does it mean? And we can't really exactly tell you. And that's really what I kind of discovered, what I really just stumbled across, honestly, and what I ended up testing on the survey.
And you had said that you and Jeff had been married for many years during this time, and you learned some things. How did this survey and this understanding help you or change your marriage?
Oh, man, it changed it a lot. We already had a great relationship. We were already each other's best friend. You know, we've been married for almost 10 years at this point, and you know, I would have characterized it as a decent marriage, but I just had no idea that I really wasn't meeting his needs in the way that I would want to. He kind of was trying to learn about me and understand me and, you know, some of the things that he knew women want, but I didn't realize, and this is going to sound funny, I didn't know what I didn't know about him. I had no idea that some of these things were so deeply wired into the core of him and every other man.
I want to move to the next one because it's obviously a kind of a hot button. I want to talk about what you learned about guys and sex. And it's not exactly a shocker to say that men want more sex, but you learned some very interesting facts that really go against, I think, the grain of the culture that teaches us about sex. A woman's sexual desire for her husband profoundly affects his sense of well-being and confidence in all areas of life. Wow.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Honestly, we women, we think of physical intimacy for our husbands as being primarily a physical need.
Right.
That's sort of the category we put it in. You know, it's a physical need, it's a physical urge. And, you know, I tell when I do women's groups, I'm like, you know what, I've got two small children, and anybody who's had little hands pulling on them all day, you know, sleep seems like a physical need, too.
Right.
And instead, what happened when I went around the country and I was doing all these interviews of men, and I was asking them what the importance of this physical intimacy was with their wives, you know, what this importance was in their lives. What I heard from them had absolutely nothing to do with the physical. What I was hearing was entirely a huge emotional need that every man has to feel that his wife desires him and that she wants him. And if a guy feels that his wife desires him, it gives him a sense of confidence and a sense of well-being in every other area of his life. And if he doesn't feel that his wife desires him, if he feels like it's a little too easy for, you know, not tonight, honey, or, you know, this is not just something I can't handle right now, you know, he gets a sense of kind of a nagging sense of, I must not be much of a man, and a nagging sense of depression and lack of well-being in the rest of his life. Now, obviously, that's not primarily a physical need at all.
Right, and yet culture, television, movies, and what people sing about doesn't make it sound or feel that way. But what you're saying, it's emotional need, that men want to be wanted.
Exactly, exactly. And so that really sort of pulls against the popular idea that, and I've even heard this preached, unfortunately, where, you know, well, you know, if you're not really feeling like it, ladies, you know, do your duty. And, you know, a lot of women will kind of think that way. And I had one guy, not to be explicit here, but I had one guy who said, I'm sorry, a man would rather go out and clip hedges in the freezing rain than have that intimate relationship with his wife if she's responding out of duty. And when I first heard that, I was so surprised. I went to my husband, I said, I don't get it. You know, he's still getting sex. And Jeff said, no, you're not getting it. If she's only responding because she has to, he is being rejected by his wife. And it's the deepest form of rejection for a man. And we women, because we're wired so differently in this area, we just don't realize that he truly doesn't get that we have physical differences, that we really truly could be tired, because this brings a man out of tiredness. You know, this is something that will cancel tiredness for him in a second, but it doesn't for us. And so we just don't realize that he interprets, even, you know, a gentle no, he interprets it as, I'm just not desirable. She doesn't want me.
And it goes back to the emotional consequences of your response or the lack of response. It really is an emotional consequence, but for many women, they're thinking it's only a physical one. It's very fascinating.
Exactly.
You talk about some of the wounds that take place. What are some of those wounds?
Oh, man. You know, obviously, the most important one is what I already mentioned, that, you know, a guy will really feel like, I'm just not desirable. And this really affects, and truly, this is something that most of us women have a real hard time grasping. That sense of whether he feels like he is desirable as a man or not really does impact everything else in his life. It really does impact his sense of well-being. Where if a guy feels desired, I had one guy say, and I love this, I heard so many guys say something like this, where this one guy said, you know what, I could be having a terrible time at work. You know, my industry could be in trouble. I'd be worried about losing my job, and the house could be falling apart, and the kids could be disobedient, but if I know my wife desires me and she affirms me in bed, I can conquer the rest of that world no problem. And conversely, if I get that message from her that I'm already kind of secretly insecure about out there in the world, that, you know, you don't measure up, don't touch me, that will devastate me, this guy said, far worse than anything that could happen in my career. I mean, that's a huge consequence that we women just don't see.
That's a huge consequence, and many men don't talk about that even though they feel it.
That's a good point, Jim. Guys don't talk about our feelings. As one author once noted, men have a tendency to look at their emotions as problems to be solved rather than just the way they're feeling. And so we don't bring that into the mix. And this is a good conversation for us guys to be hearing here on the Homeward Broadcast. And you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. His continuing conversation with Shanti Feldhahn, the author of the book For Women Only, and we're talking about A Woman's Guide to the Mind of a Man. Shanti put this book together for Women Only when she was doing research on a couple of male characters she was writing for. She's actually a novelist and an attorney, and she started putting out some questionnaires among her male friends as to whether or not she was getting the guys right in terms of the way they thought. And the response from these thousands of guys was just really staggering. So she published a book called For Women Only, and the book sold almost 1 million copies. It's a real go-to for us here at Homeward. And if you'd like to learn more information about Shanti Feldhahn's book, For Women Only, visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
All right, what is it this time?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, here we go again.
It's always the same thing, Bill.
Yeah,
you
sure,
don't
yeah.
listen
mm-hmm.
to me.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
care about my feelings. Talking to you is like shouting at a brick wall.
Oh, I'm a brick wall, huh? I'm out of here.
Fine.
If things are a bit shaky at home, talking through the issues might be a challenge. That's why I urge you to get the help you need to start sorting through your differences. That'll make it easier to make your marriage a priority again. When you go to homeward.com, you can download your free tip sheet called 6 Keys to a Better Marriage Today. We make it available free of charge because at Homeward, our mission is encouraging parents, building families. Couples who have a support system in place have a greater chance of their marriage surviving and thriving. With today's Homeward Snapshot, I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Shanti Feldhahn. We're talking about what guys wish women knew about men. Rogers told you about her book, For Women Only. It's a best-selling book, and you can see why in terms of the conversation we're having. Very, very good. Shanti, men are visual. I mean, everyone obviously agrees on that. But you found out that men are really visual, and that you actually say 98% of men can't not be attracted to a beautiful woman. I mean, is that normal?
You know, here's what it really means. That men are visual, that we women tend not to quite get because most of us aren't visual in the same way. It actually means two things, two different things, and that's one of them. First is that even the most godly, devoted husband who's totally devoted to his wife can't not notice a woman who is dressed in a way to call attention to her figure. He can't not notice. Even if he's going to choose to, you know, honor his wife and he's not going to look, the existence of that woman on the planet is noted. and that's something that we women, we just don't quite realize. This is a totally normal, natural thing. This is not to excuse sin, but we have to realize there's a difference between temptation and sin, and that every guy is tempted to look, whether or not he actually does. Okay?
And you're saying that women don't really get that. Now, that always shocks me, because my girls will say the same thing. But what you're saying is, you know, you'll see somebody dressed very provocatively. Are you saying that that woman doesn't understand that men are not looking at her just because it's a cute sweater?
You know what? I know that every man in your audience is going to scoff when I tell you this, but probably not. Most women truly, because we're not visual the same way, we truly do not understand what we're doing when we dress a certain way. And it's really common, and guys, if you think about it, they have probably heard this before, where they'll see some woman who's dressed in some, you know, short mini skirt or tight sweater or whatever it is, and another woman or a girl will come up to her and go, oh, what a cute outfit, and she's like, oh, thanks, and they start talking about it, and the guy's like, cute is not in my vocabulary. That outfit is not cute. We women, because we're not visual, we don't understand what's going through your head when that happens. And that actually brings up the second thing that it means when we say that guys are visual, which honestly is even weirder to us women, because we don't have an equivalent of this. Like I said, only about 20-25% of women are visual this way, but the rest of us don't get it. And that is that that image that that guy just saw of that woman in a short miniskirt is burned into his brain and could become part of what my husband calls a mental Rolodex of images that stretch back to his teen years, and any of those images could arise at any time in his head without warning, even if he doesn't want them there.
Well, what makes a lot of sense is that men sort of understand some of that, but it's very important for, I think, women also to understand that. And one of the things you say, what a woman can do in this case, because men are visual, is they have to champion modesty. It was one of the things that you said a woman can do. What did you mean by that?
Well, see, here's the thing. Like I said, even though I know most of your male audience won't believe me on this, most of the women or our teenage daughters who are dressing in a certain way, we really truly don't understand what's going on inside a man's head. You know, we think, oh, that skirt is cute. And so what I've realized is that we have to start putting ourselves in a man's shoes and looking at things as, is this something that is going to trigger a man's visual temptation? Is this something that he's going to have to struggle with? Because here's, by the way, ladies who are listening to this, here's what happens, okay? That image that I talked about pops up in his head, and then he has to say, stop it. I don't want that image in there. I don't want to be thinking about this woman and dishonoring her and dishonoring God and all those things. I have to tear that image down. I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm going to think about the baseball game instead. And so he tears the image down, and 5 minutes later, that image could pop right back into his head, and he has to go through the whole rigmarole all over again. And we have to realize how exhausting that choice is over and over and over again in this culture where men are bombarded by these images all day long. And so what we have to do when we champion modesty really is realize where we might have thought that modesty was really primarily for our sake, you know, to protect us as women. Honestly, I've come to see it as something that really even more is protecting our men who don't want to have to struggle in this way.
It's interesting when you say that, because the Bible says outdo one another in showing honor. And in some ways, as a woman champions modesty, she's honoring that visual aspect of what a man is struggling with.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing, honestly, is the thing that it's so easy for us women to say, well, he shouldn't have this struggle. You know, he shouldn't have this temptation. It's not my problem, it's his problem. And what we have to realize, we have to stop and think for a second, if this really is the way that men are wired, if this is the way that God has created them to be visual in this way, then we have an enormous responsibility to examine our own heart and to say, why would I ever say that it's not my problem? If this is something that's causing a Christian brother of mine to stumble, and not, for example, to be able to concentrate on church because that woman is dressed that way three rows in front of him, and he's having such a hard time not looking over there, then I should realize, wait a minute, that is totally my responsibility. That is totally my business to be so careful in the way that I present myself. And I, like I said, I just think most of us just don't understand it. So that's one of the reasons why, even though it's a hard chapter to discuss, that's one of the reasons I put it in the book.
It's a great comment. Our culture depicts men as kind of a bunch of clods who have no desire for romance. You disagree with that. You say men enjoy romance.
Yeah, I actually was delighted when I found this one out. Because really, you know, if you think about it, all the sitcoms kind of portray you guys as kind of the bumbling, unromantic fool, you know?
Yeah, and we sometimes play that very well.
And sometimes guys may appear that way. But the thing that I was so encouraged by is finding out that for themselves, if, regardless of if they think they can do a good job at it, or if they think that their wife will appreciate what they've done, I was so pleasantly surprised to find out the vast majority of men really do want romance themselves, and they just hesitate at it because, well, there's actually two reasons they hesitate. One is that they kind of doubt whether they can succeed at it, and it's that old insecurity rising up again that we had talked about before.
I think you called them internal hesitations. That
yeah,
made a lot of sense to me.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. Sort of just feeling like, you know, I don't want to humiliate myself. And I had one guy say, you know, I am willing, because I want romance, I'm willing to make a fool out of myself for my wife. I'm willing to make myself a fool for you. But if you tease me about not quite getting the candlelight dinner right, it'll be 5 years before I try that again. And maybe not then. And I realize that so much of whether our husbands feel safe to sort of try some of this romance really rests with us. Honestly, we're really the one who holds the key to whether he feels like it's something that he can try without a risk of feeling silly or stupid. And the other reason that I realize we sort of sometimes think of you guys as unromantic is that we've missed some of your signals, because for guys, about half of guys, they want to go out and play with their wives. They want to go out and do things together, and they think that that is incredibly romantic. And that's really important for us to realize that is something that's, we may have been totally missing the signals. You know, when a guy says, hey, honey, you want to go to Home Depot with me? And, you know, if we didn't understand that maybe he's proposing this time, just the two of us, to go wander, we might think, no, I've got to vacuum the house. And not realizing that for him, it's kind of the same thing as, hey, you want to go have a candlelight dinner together? No, really, I'd rather vacuum the house. But it is really cool once you start seeing things the way that your man sees them and realize that when he's proposing the let's go play golf or let's go hiking or, you know, hey, honey, you want to go to the hardware store with me? Some of those things for a guy really are just wanting to spend one-on-one time with his wife, and that's just a romantic excursion.
Well, that's a good thing for wives to understand. It's a good way for men to also realize that they can play with their spouses.
Here's the thing. We were shocked at the end of the survey when the actual survey that we asked the men was, what's the one most important thing you wish your wife or your girlfriend knew but feel you can't explain to her or tell her? And I thought it would be an opportunity for men to vent. I really did. I thought it would be a chance for guys to sort of get off their chests the things they most wish that their wives would do. And instead, I was shocked that the top response by far when they could say anything was the one most important thing I wish my wife knew was how much I love her. Mm. And remember, it was a blank space. They could have said anything. And it was so encouraging to hear what I'd been sort of secretly suspecting as I started doing all these interviews with the guys, which is the guys really do adore their wives and feel handicapped at getting it across to her in a way that she will believe and that she'll understand. And I realized, you know what, our guys really do have such goodwill towards their wives, and it's such a opportunity really for us to say, you know what, he has such goodwill towards me, maybe I haven't realized that there were things that I need to extend that same goodwill to him and be willing to be really one-sided for a while and to look at life from his direction and really do a little work to understand what he needs that I may never have known before and how to support him in the way that he needs. So I've heard from so many guys that we women, we really do have such power in their lives to either build them up or tear them down. And I have heard from so many guys that they really feel like with their wives' encouragement and support, that they really can become that sort of strong, godly, confident, caring husband that they most want and need to be. So I was just really encouraged to find how important we were to them.
Well, I would say a hearty amen to that, and I'm thankful for your message because I think your message is going to help a whole lot of men and women, frankly, make some good and right decisions about this. Shanti, what a delight to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that.
A Woman's Guide to the Mind of a Man has been our topic for the past couple of days here on Homeward, and this is a conversation that I think that women and men can benefit from hearing. Communication is a key to every relationship, and when you sharpen your communication skills, I think you'll establish better connections with the people who mean the most to you, like your spouse and your children.
You know, that's a great point, Jim, and I'm glad you make it here as we conclude today's edition of the Homeward broadcast, because oftentimes we'll do a program on marriage and we'll hear from people who say, hey, I thought Homeward was a parent and family ministry. Why do you talk about marriage so much? Well, studies show that when mom and dad get their act together, then it really benefits the kids and the home life really thrives as well. So that's why we will continue to do marriage programs here on the radio and on our online streams and podcasts. And also, Jim writes books like Creating an Intimate Marriage and Closer, which you can order directly from our Homeward Resource Center online. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds actually goes towards supporting the ministry of Homeward. And finally, if you can give a gift in support of our ministry, $25, $50, $100 or more, especially at this time of year, we truly appreciate hearing from you. You can send that gift to Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.